Page that begins either Yud Ches Amud Beis, or 36. If you recall, I gave you two versions of this: the classic Gemara, and the Art Scroll, which is also classic. But the difference is that the Art Scroll, when it sources a pasuk, it actually gives you the pasuk, the complete pasuk, on the side. The Art Scroll also highlights the Rashi's, so you can find the Rashi's a little more easily in the Art Scroll. Okay, so I'm just going to review quickly. I mean, it doesn't have to be quickly, but I'm going to review what we saw last time. Essentially, Rabbi Shimon had explained to us, starting seven to the last thin line. So again, if you're looking at the page here, it's Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches Amud Beis. So it's either listed as 36 or Yud Ches. And it's right here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 lines from the bottom of the thin lines where the middle of the line has the word Tanya. Tanya. So Tanya, as we've noted, is an introductory word which refers to a Tanaitic statement. Tanya, because it has the word Taf Nun Yud in it, and Taf Nun usually is, sometimes it's Tanan, sometimes it's Tanina, sometimes it's Tanya. So that introduces a Tanaitic statement, and there Rabbi Shimon noted the pasuk that we had been looking at through studying the necessity of keeping the four fasts. Okay, and if you don't remember the pasuk, you can look in the back of your little package here, where it says Zechariah chapter 8. I gave you the two psukim, pasuk Yirchas and pasuk Yitas. Vayidvar Hashem Tzvaos Yelai Lemor, that Hashem came to Zechariah saying, Komar Hashem Tzvaos Tzomar Avid Tzomar Chamishi Tzomar Shavid Tzomar Asiri, at the fast of the 4th, the 5th, the 7th, and the 10th, Yiyel Abayis Yudah L'Sasun L'Simcha, they'll be to the house of Judea, for joy, happiness, Moadim Tovim, holidays, for Emes V'Hashalom Ahavu, and you're going to love truth and peace. Turn your page over. Turn the whole booklet over. There you go, right there. No, you're on the, because you're looking at Yud Ches Amud Aleph. You're looking at Amud Aleph. Turn the page. Yeah, there you go. That's it. Okay. So that was the source for the idea that there are these four fast days, the ones which we're familiar with, except as we saw through looking at the Gemara that maybe we're not so familiar with them, because when we identify the fast of the fourth is Tammuz. So which one is that? That's the Shiva Asar Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz. We identify the fast of the fifth, which is Av. It's Tisha B'Av. We identify the fast of the seventh. That's Tzom Gedalia, and the fast of the 10th, so is Asar B'Teves, right? Okay, so yes, that's certainly the way we do things now, but Rabbi Shimon's point was, and if you just look at that line where I noted, he said, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Arba Devarim, Hayi Rabbi Kiva Doresh. Rabbi Shimon says there were four things that Rabbi Kiva learned, Va'ani Ein Doresh Kamoso, and I don't learn like him. Okay, that was the introduction that Rabbi Shimon gave. And we went through the Gemara showing how the fourth is the ninth of Tammuz, the fifth is Tisha B'Av, the seventh is Tzom Gedalia, and the tenth is, according to Rabbi Akiva, Asar B'Teves. All right, so you know what, we'll just pick up from there. So I'll tell you where that is. Okay, so go to the fourth wide line. The fourth wide line. Okay, and when we did this, we saw that there was a format to the Gemara, where the Gemara basically introduced to us the quote from the Pasuk. So here, go smack to the middle of the line. Okay? Tzom Ha'asiri. If you remember, that's a quote from the Pasuk. So Tzom Ha'asiri, what's the definition of Tzom Ha'asiri? Ze Asara B'Teves. And we knew that was a break because we're all familiar with the phrase Asara B'Teves. Okay? And then he explains, and we know to stop because on the next line we have the word Shene'emar. Shene'emar introduces a pasuk. Shene'emar means as it's written, as it says. And then there's the indicator that there is a pasuk. So Asar B'Teves, the fast of the 10th month is Asar B'Teves, Shebo Samach Melech Bavel Al Yerushalayim. Okay, that's the idea that we're most familiar with, that what happened on the 10th of Teves? There was a siege around Yerushalayim. Shenamar, and then he quotes the pasuk. And how do we know where the pasuk ends? Because I gave it to you. Go back to the back page of the packet. Vayhi Dvar Hashem at Yechezkel 24. You see that right after the pasuk we just looked at before. Everybody with me? Vayhi Dvar Hashem Elai Lemor. Vashanat Shiyis. The word of God came to me in the 9th year. Vachodesh Hasiri in the 10th month. Be'asor Lachodesh Lemor in the 10th of the month, saying. That on that day the king of Bavel came close to Yerushalayim, so he put the siege. Right, so that's where Rabbi Akiva gets it from. Right, so how do we know where that quote ends? Well, Shenemar introduces the quote. So if you read in the Gemara, you're going to see it's exactly the words we just read from the psukim. That was the first pasuk. Ben Adam, ksav l'cha Hashem ayom hazeh, esetzem ayom hazeh, samach melech bavel el Yerushalayim. Okay, and it skips the last three words, be'etzem ayom hazeh, from the pasuk. Now, why does the Gemara do that? Is the Gemara truncating a pasuk? The Gemara sometimes just gives you the information that you need. Okay, sometimes the Gemara will give you just one word from a pasuk. The point of giving all that was because in the first pasuk it gives us the date, Achodesh HaAsiri, in the 10th month, Be'asor LaChodesh, the 10th day. And in the second pasuk, we needed to get to the point that Samach Melech Bavel El Yerushalayim, that the king of Bavel came close to Yerushalayim. Okay, that was Rabbi Akiva's, that's Rabbi Akiva's understanding of the fast of the 10th month. And we also saw in the very next part, V'amai kari le'asiri, asiri l'chadashim. Because we have that the repeat of the word asiri, so we know that that usually gives us pause to take note. So because of the format of all the other questions that had come before that, just go to the middle of the first wide line. You'll see, V'amai kari le'chamishi, chamishi l'chadashim. That's the format that it would use for all of these. Amai means why. Karile, is it called Asiri? Meaning why does the pasuk refer to it as the fast of the 10th? Because it is Asiri l'chadashim. It means the 10th month. Okay? So then this is essentially where we're up to. We did another couple of lines just to see, not to be left hanging with what Rabbi Shimon introduced, but we'll pick up from right over here. Okay? And we're going to play our game of looking for our hints, insofar as where the breaks are, and we'll try to get the flow of what the Gemara is telling us. Okay, so remember, the introduction, the first line that I pointed out to you today, seven lines from the bottom of the thin lines, was Rabbi Shimon telling us that Rabbi Akiva and I both, we disagree about something. So Rabbi Shimon basically went through this entire I'm not going to call it a deep analysis, but this entire introduction of the fast days in order to get to this point. In other words, he took apart the pasuk from Zechariah, that there's a fourth month, a fifth month, a fast of the fourth month, a fast of the fifth month, a fast of the seventh month, and a fast of the tenth month. And Rabbi Akiva's view is that the fast of the tenth month is Asara B'Teves, based on the pasuk which we just saw, the pasuk from Yechezkel, that says that in the ninth year, after, see the context, the ninth year of what? It's of the reign of whichever king it's referring to. That's when the king of Bavel came. Okay? So now we're up to, so we know that Asiri l'chadashim is the end of the previous phrase for a few reasons. Number one, we've been following that format up until now. And of course we have the telltale Vav. Okay? Vav. So now the Vav, what does the Vav do? It's certainly not the kind of Vav that connects the previous word to this word. It's a new idea. And so now we're introduced to a new phrase. How do we know where this phrase ends? Okay, there's another Rav. Correct, Jerry. Very good. Okay, Velama. So now we have to break down the words which we have here. Now, the word Vehalo. Is anyone familiar with the word Vehalo? Or at least you're certainly familiar with the word Lo. Okay, Lo. So when you have, Lo means no. Or not. Some type of negative word. But when you have a Vav and a Hey before it, Vehalo means...
Even though?
I wouldn't say even though. I would say, isn't it? Vehalo, isn't it? And is it not? That's what vehalo means. Haya, what's haya? That's a Hebrew word. Was. Okay? So now we have four more. So was it not? Vehalo, was it not? Ra'ui ze lichtov rishon.
Worthwhile to be written first, or to be called the first.
Okay. Okay, so that's correct. Lichtov Rishon means to write it first. Ra'ui means worthy. So now, before we figure out what Rabbi Shimon is talking about, let's try to understand. Okay, this is what the Gemara, remember. The Gemara gives us words, gives us phrases, and says, all right, put your thinking hat on. I remember hearing that a lot in elementary school, but that's really what you have to do. Okay, so what's Rabbi Shimon talking about? Asar B'Teves should have been written first? And isn't the pasuk flow so beautifully? The fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, the tenth month. It's very nice.
It was first in the Torah.
Ah, chronologically. Okay? So, correct. So this is, that's the question. The question is, shouldn't the fast of the tenth month have been written first? Because, so this is where we fill in the gaps of the Gemara. Why? Because it happened first. Give us the fasts based on their chronology. Okay, what's the next one? What's the next break? Okay, so Velama means and why? So, okay, so certainly at Va'ani, there's going to be a break. Okay, so we have to get from Velama, because we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words before Va'ani. So we have to break that down into, try to understand. So Velama introduces a question, right? Because the word lama means why. So vil lama means and why. So in other words, it's not really introducing a question. It's completing the question that began with vehalo. Shouldn't the fast of the 10th month have been written first? Vil lama. Okay, so then where does the rest of the question end?
Nichtav kan.
Nichtav has the root in it, which means to write, and kan means here. So velama nichtav kan. Why is it written here? Okay, very good. Now, how do you know that that is the end of the question? So first of all, if you have a little bit of grammar, then you know that that's the way the question goes. Velama nichtav kan. But furthermore, the word kidei. Kedei usually indicate, kedei means in order that. Okay, now, sometimes kedei could be part of the question, but this question is a really simple question, which we already know. Okay, velama nichtav kan is just really finishing the question whose conclusion we already understood from the first part. So velama nichtav kan means, and why is it written here? It should have been written at the beginning of the pasuk. Why is it written here at the end of the pasuk? And the answer, De la hastir chodashim ketikanon. And we know that that's the end because we already determined that. Because the next word is va'ani. Va'ani. It's not ketikanon va'ani. You know, that's two different words that are combined with a vav. It's two different ideas. So, kede la hastir chodashim ketikanon. Now we know the word chodashim, right? What does chodashim mean?
Months.
What's lahasdir? What's the shorish? Don't just find the shorish first.
Seder.
Seder means order. So lahasdir, it's a grammatical form of the word seder, to put in order the months. Kedei lahasdir chodashim, in order to put the months in order. Ketikanon. What's ketikanon?
According to the way they fall.
Well, what's the root? What's the word? Right? Tikun, takana, right? All these. Okay, so tikkun means it's a fixed order, right? Letaken means to fix something, and a takana is a decree of some kind. So when you think of it in the context of understanding in the order of months, so we say it's the order of months as they are established. That's what it means. So, therefore, what's the explanation for why Rabbi Akiva justifies that the 10th month is written last? Because it's not chronological. It doesn't follow the order of the history. Right? It's the order of the months. Right? That's very nice. You're starting the... It's calendrical, not chronological. The calendar goes 4th, 5th, 7th, 10th month. That's the order, obviously. So that's the way it is according to Rabbi Akiva. So now Rabbi Shimon is going to explain why I disagree with Rabbi Akiva. So you're going to ask, how can he disagree with Rabbi Akiva? Like, what's there to disagree about, right? Tzatzar b'teves, right? So this is why the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, before you learn Gemara, you have to know Tanakh. You have to know the Bible. Before you learn Gemara, you have to know Mishnah. Okay, so we're going to see how if we only knew Tanakh, we would understand the question. It's obvious. It's obvious. Or we would understand why Rabbi Shimon thinks differently. So the Gemara says, all right, maybe you're not so smart. Maybe you don't know all of Tanakh. I'm going to tell you a pasuk that you don't know, okay? And this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion as to what the Tzom HaAsiri is, the fast of the 10th month. So do Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon agree that the fast of the Tzom HaAsiri means the fast of the 10th month? Yes, they do. Do they agree on the date? We're going to see in a second that they do not. Why? Because the pasuk, when it talks about the fast of each month, doesn't give us a what? It gives us the month, but it doesn't give us a date. It doesn't give us a date. In the book of Malachim, when it describes the breaking into the walls of Jerusalem, you know what date is given there? The 9th of Tammuz. The 9th of Tammuz. Not the 17th. So why do we observe the 17th? First Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av, we say, is the same date. So there you go. Tzom Gedalia, well, that only happened once. Okay, so that is. Okay, that's a different discussion as to why we do Tzom Gedalia if the second Beis HaMikdash was built in the interim. But here we go. Okay, so we're up to the word Va'ani. So now Rabbi Shimon is giving us his answer, or at least his challenge to Rabbi Akiva. So where's our next break, folks? Why? Okay, Mindy's saying that it's Mimi's saying that it's at Ella. Why? Because Ella is, it's a transition word, right? It means rather. So in other words, whatever comes before it is a statement. Rather, something else. So Ella is a key word that you have to know. And we're going to see Ella again in 5 lines from now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines. 1, 2, 3, whatever. 5, however you count it. It's 5 or 6 lines. So what is the line? Va'ani Eini Omer Kein. Va'ani means and I. Eini, Ein means not. Eini, adding the E, means I do not. Why he has to say Va'ani Eini? Okay, that's the way people talk in Hebrew. Va'ani, all he has to say is Va'ani, I don't agree. But Va'ani, I, Eini, I don't. Omer Kein. I don't say so. I say different. Okay, what's the next thing? So Elo, we already said, is it rather? So now we have phrases which we're familiar with. Tzom HaAsiri, that's the quote from the pasuk, which indicates the fast of the 10th month. Ze, where's the next phrase? Where's the next clear phrase? After B'teves, because he gives us a date and the month. So what does he say? Tzom HaAsiri, ze chamisha B'teves, that the fast of the 5th month, of the 10th month rather, is the 5th of Teves. Why? Why? So where's our next break? Clearly. It's going to be on the very next line. Okay. Shenemar. Right? Because Shenemar is going to introduce to us a quote of a pasuk. So let's take a look at those words. Shebo, bas, shemua, legola, shehuksa, ha'ir. Okay, any word in there that is familiar? Just call out the word in a translation. Okay, how about Shemua? Everybody know the word Shemua? What heard? Okay, so Shemua means a rumor or to hear about something. Bas Beis Aleph Tuf. We just had a parsha, not this past week, week before. Bo, parsha's bo. What does that word mean?
Come.
Right, come. So Bas Shemua means the rumor or news came. News came. La Gola. What is the Gola? Right, the exile, the diaspora. What's an ear? Ayin Yud Resh. City, right? Shehuksa. Huksa is from the word Makkah. What does Makkah mean?
The city was
not a plague. So you didn't come to the shir on Shabbos. Okay. Makkah does not mean plague. Makkah means a hit, a strike. Right? Plague is not a good translation. By the way, when you talk about the plagues in Egypt, plague is not a good translation. Because what does plague usually mean? An illness. So it's really 10 strikes, 10 patches, 10 punishments, if you want to call it that way. But it's not plague. There's really only one Makkah, which was a literal plague. That's the plague of boils. I mean, even the plague of the firstborn is not really a plague. It was just they're dead. There was no sickness. So anyway, so Shehuksa means that it was struck. That the city was struck. Shehuksa ha'ir. So that means, so now the first word is Shabo, that means that in it, meaning on the fifth of Teves, news came to the diaspora that the city of Yerushalayim had been sacked. Okay? How does he know that? Where does Rabbi Shimon make up this fact? He doesn't make it up. He says, Rabbi Akiva can quote from Yechezkel. Guess what? I can also quote from Yechezkel. Okay, go back to the end of your package. Just see the pasuk. Remember what the previous quote was? The ninth year. This is now the 12th year. Ba'asiri, in the 10th month. Ba'chamishala chodesh l'galusenu, in the 5th day of the month, in our exile. Ba'elai hapalit, a fugitive came from Yerushalayim, lemor, uksah, your city has been sacked.
Why is it on
Tisha B'Av,
not on the 5th day?
Oh, no. Tisha B'Av is the date of the actual destruction. What Rabbi Shimon is saying is that what's the reason for the fast of Teves? Not because of the surrounding of the city, but because for the people who weren't even there, they heard the news. Okay, so, I mean, you know, just as an example, okay, I'll use Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor. So December 7th, big day for the people in Pearl Harbor. When does the rest of the country find out about it? When FDR comes up and says December 7th, 1941, or it's the headlines in the paper. So, right, it's a day of living infamy. So, yeah, absolutely, this December 7th is like Tisha B'Av, Lahavdil. Okay? It's like Tisha B'Av. But the day that everybody found out about it was December 8th. Now, the United States is not mourning December 8th, but they could have, if they wanted to follow the example that Rabbi Shimon is giving. 3 years later, they find out about it. It took 3 years to get the news. So he says, well, can you imagine? You're living your life, you think, okay, Yerushalayim, at least Yerushalayim is okay. I'm in exile, at least Yerushalayim is fine. Then you find out, hey, you know what happened? Yerushalayim is destroyed. Really? No more Beis HaMikdash. It's a terrible day. Terrible day. So that's Rabbi Shimon. That's what he says. Shneamar. So now, how do we know when the quote ends? Well, because we just read the pasuk. Okay, we saw the pasuk in a different source. So it basically goes until the end of this line, the end of the next line. Huksa ha'ir. Okay, you see it? The first two words on the next line. Huksa ha'ir. Everybody with me? Huksa ha'ir. We saw that was the quote from the pasuk. Okay, where's the next break? That's a nun actually, but there's a vav. You see the word vinyir in. So viasu yom shmua. Let's go back to that phrase. 5 words. Viasu yom shmua ki yom sreifa. Well, the word yom, I'm assuming everybody knows. Yom means day. Shmua, we just had that word before. That's the day of hearing. Okay, so asu, they made the yom shmua, the day of the hearing. Meaning, when they found out the news, kiyom strefa, like the day of the burning. So actually, Howie, you're right. They made it a day of mourning, as if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed that day. Now, does that mean that they made this fast a 24-hour fast, like Tisha B'Av is? I don't know. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they did it. But the point is that he is saying that when they looked at the date, when they got the news, that became a tremendous day of mourning. And that's why he concludes, finish the line, v'nirin dvarai midvarav, my opinion, my words are more easily understood. Nirin is like ro'et, to see. Right? Mine you can see much more clearly, midvarav, than his. Okay? Why? Let's try to guess. Why do you think, why does Rabbi Shimon like his opinion better than Rabbi Akiva's opinion? You remember what the Gemara's question was about Rabbi Akiva's opinion? Why?
You're always going to want to accept your own
opinion. Of course. But he thinks that his argument is more sound. Well, look, when I was in Rabbi Tendler's year, he would always do that. He'd say, so-and-so says this, but this is my opinion, and I'm convinced I'm right. Of course. All right. Of course.
Right.
Okay. So what is... But let's think of the line. What was the question on Rabbi Akiva's opinion? Do you remember?
That it wasn't
chronological. Right? He said, oh, it works very nice on the calendar, but come on, Rabbi Akiva. Everything here is chronological. So now, what's the fast of the 10th month? Well, let's go back. The fast of the 7th month is the murder of Gedaliah. The fast of the... And I don't know if Gedaliah was murdered right away. It may have been a year or two later. The point is that if you have Tisha B'Av, and then you have the murder of Gedaliah somewhere in between, and then 3 years after Tisha B'Av, you find out, or I shouldn't say 3 years, 2.5 years after Tisha B'Av, but 2.5 years after Tisha B'Av, Gedaliah is already dead, and then he's already been murdered. And then you have this story where they find out about it, chronologically, this comes last. Rabbi Shimon says, that's why I like my view better, because this one makes more sense, as opposed to, oh yeah, it works in the calendar. Come on, really, the better argument is chronology. And now let's see if we got it right. I mean, of course we got it right. That's why I'm standing here. I prepared the class. Okay. So anyway, but let's take a look. Where's our next break? Okay, so there's a vav in va'al, but you're going to see why in a second, why that's not the real break, and why vahu is the real break. Okay? And this is just a classic Hebrew kind of phrase. Sha'ani omer. Because I say, al, rishon, rishon, v'al, achron, achron. Okay, now, when you see the word rishon repeated, that might be a pause to say, hey, wait, is there a break here? But when you just read a little further and you see that that's the way it's talking, that's just a Hebrew format. That I'm talking about the first things first, and last things last, and therefore, the fast of the 4th month, which is when the city was breached. And by the way, what's another argument about why maybe Rabbi Akiva's explanation for the fast of the 10th is not such a big deal? If you take Rabbi Akiva out, you got to do the 5th of Teves. Okay? No, but in all seriousness, think about it. What is the repercussion of having a siege? Of a siege.
The city will fall.
If it falls. Okay, well what happens if the city doesn't fall? Let's say Yerushalayim went under siege, and then they were able to break through, and they're okay. Would we mourn Asar B'Teves? No. The only reason why Rabbi Akiva's opinion is even valid was because it was the beginning of the end. But if the city hadn't fallen, or if let's say the Babylonians said, you know what, enough with this gig, we're out of here, and they left, would we have more in Asar B'Teves?
No.
Of course not. Of course not. But once the city is breached and the temple's destroyed, and then you find out about it later on, right, this is Rabbi Shimon's argument. He says that's why this is. I mean, listen, I don't know if Rabbi Akiva is there to defend himself, but this is where Rabbi Shimon's coming from. He says, look, I think that my thinking and my logic just makes so much more sense. Absolutely. There's only one way the temple could be rebuilt. That was the first thing which we saw in this Gemara. You remember? that when it's Bizman Sheye Shalom, no Sason Bizimcha. That's the Pasuk in Zechariah. When there's peace, we rejoice. When there's Shmad, when it's the opposite of peace, then it's a time of fasting. Okay, what's the next break? What's the next break? So this is actually a different kind of repeat, right? It's the same format. He was explaining his own opinion. Ani omer rishon rishon rel acharon acharon. Vehu, what's vehu? And he. Remember, we try to avoid the pronouns when we talk out the Gemara. You want to remember who we're talking about. Vehu meaning Rabbi Akiva omer. He says al rishon acharon vel acharon rishon. Right? He's putting the one which happened last. Well, I don't know. Why he says al acharon rishon. He says the one which happened last, he's putting first, which is not exactly correct. I don't know why he says it that way, but the point is that he's reversing things around. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's a question. That's a question. V'hu omer al rishon achron v'al achron rishon. Is that what Rabbi Akiva's doing? Is Rabbi Akiva mixing things around completely? Ella, rather. Shehu, right? In other words, somebody called Rabbi Shimon said, "You see, I do it right because I said the first is first and the last is last." So the Gemara basically challenges Rabbi Shimon and says, "What is Rabbi Akiva mixing things around like a crazy man? But he's throwing things that have he has no semblance of any rhyme, reason, or order." So what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara has Rabbi Shimon explain. I'm sorry, you're right. Let me be a little nicer. Ella, rather, where's the next break? Va'ani, yes, va'ani. Okay, we'll get to that. But even more so is on the next line, itamar. Itamar. Itamar is another introductory word which introduces a tosefta. A tosefta is an Amoritic statement which is going to be introduced to us. So he says, the Gemara says, Ella, rather, shehu moneh l'seder chodashim, va'ani moneh l'seder peranios. So how do you make Rabbi Shimon be a little nicer to Rabbi Akiva? Because he's making Rabbi Akiva look like, meaning the way that he summarizes his own opinion, is saying, I said first is first, and last is last. So the Gemara says, what? Rabbi Akiva is no dummy. So can you give a nicer explanation for Rabbi Akiva? So yeah, that's what it is. Ella, rather, shehu, meaning that he, Rabbi Akiva, moneh l'seder chodashim. What does that mean?
He doesn't count.
What's moneh? Counts. Seder Chodeshim, following the order of the months. Va'ani, and I, Moneh, I count, the Seder Puranios, following the order of the
events.
Right, the difficult events. Puranus is punishment. So, in other words, the assumption is that all these four events were punishments in one form or another to the Jewish people, or at least the repercussions thereof are extremely negative and difficult times, and therefore he says I follow it based on the chronology. Okay, now the Gemara, just following along, you know, flowing from this conversation, goes off in a slightly different direction, trying to understand what the rules are. Now it's interesting because remember how Rabbi Shimon introduces all saying that Rabbi Akiva and I disagree on four things. How many of them did we see? One. Why? Because in the context of our discussion in the Gemara, only one of them was relevant. The other ones, the Gemara doesn't raise here because they're not important. But Rabbi Shimon, I guess, just wanted to introduce and say, you know, I disagree with him on four things, and here's one of them. What was this whole discussion, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva, where did it come from? Remember the beginning of our Gemara here. The beginning of our Gemara was trying to discuss what essential question. We kind of touched on it today in just talking things out. Whether the fasts... Yeah, go ahead, say it. Should be...
Observed
or canceled. Do they stand the test of time? And the Gemara's conclusion earlier on was, well, it depends what's going on amongst the Jewish people. So it's in the context of that, of saying, should the fast survive, that other things are raised as well. Okay, anyone familiar with the idea, what Megillas Tanis was? So there were actually two different Megillas Tanises. One was a day of fasts, and one was a day of where fasting is not allowed. Okay, we have remnants of Megillas Tanis where fasting is not allowed. And these were events, all these were events that either bad things happened or good things happened, depending on which book it was. So what remnant do we have of the one that talks about holidays? We have two remnants. We have two rabbinic holidays. Not a trick question, folks. Not a trick question. Chanukah and Purim, right? So the thing about Megillas Tanis was that at one point in time, it was canceled. This is discussed in the Mishnah as well with Rabbi, I think it's Chizkiah, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember. Anyway, so the question was about Megillas Tanis, if it was canceled, do any of the dates in there, I mean, basically what Megillas Tanis did was like, if anything happened, you know, they put it in there, and all of a sudden it was a date that people observed. So it became ridiculous. There was no empty date on the calendar that didn't even have a fast, that didn't either have a fast day or some holiday. I mean, you know, I guess the people like the holidays, just no tachanun, right? But still, even so, it becomes burdensome that you're always having more. I mean, look, we know from preparing for Shabbos every week and from having 3 day yontifs, right? That what it means to prepare meals and everything. So Americans who prepare like for Thanksgiving, they go crazy. One meal, right? That's why some of the big jokes you see on social media today is, oh, you're having difficulty preparing for Thanksgiving? Sorry, I do that every week. Right? That's the some of the Jewish people will identify with. But the point is that we have to now see how the Gemara's flow goes into the next discussion. So Itmar again introduces a Tosefta, and now the question is, where's our next break? And actually, what we're going to see here is something which we haven't seen before in terms of a formula that the Gemara will sometimes use. So I'm going to introduce you to that formula. I've talked about it in the sense that if we see a repeat, so that repeat begs us to pay attention to talk out what the Gemara is doing. So here you're going to see two opinions in the Gemara, and then a seemingly very clear repeat of something which we just saw. So let's take a look. Rav veRabbi Chanina. Look at that vav. Do you suppose that vav is a combining two ideas, or is it a separating two ideas?
Combining.
Why? Because it's connecting Rav and Rabbi Chanina. Okay, so Rav and Rabbi Chanina, Amrei. What's Amrei?
They say.
That's the plural of Amar. Okay, in Aramaic. If it were Hebrew, it would say Amru. Amrei. So they said. Where's our next break? What do they say? Quote. Right, they say the word, but where's the end of the quote? We have the word Rav Rabbi Chanina Amrei. Okay, where's the next break?
The other
right. Yeah, exactly. The end of the line is the end of this phrase, because the next line introduces another rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan. So what did they say? Batla Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis was canceled. Okay, now we have Rabbi Yochanan veRibbel. Who's Ribbel? The rabbi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Okay, Ribbel. Yeah, we have there are some people who get these kinds of acronyms in the Gemara, and we're familiar with a bunch of them also. If you ever study Chumash, you're familiar with all Rashi, Ramban, Ibn Ezra is often written Reish Aleph Beis Ayin, Rashbam. These are acronyms. So that's what Ribbel is, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Yochanan and Yehoshua ben Levi, Amrei. What do they say? Lo batla Megillas Tanis. Okay, a classic debate in the Gemara. I didn't even give you a chance to do that one because it's clear. Right? The first one said batla Megillas Tanis, and the other one say lo batla Megillas Tanis. That Megillas Tanis was not canceled. Now, take a look. This is why you really have to pay attention, because otherwise you can get really confused. Look what the very next part of the Gemara says. Rav veRabbi Chanina Amrei Batla Megillas Tanis. What? Go back one line. We just saw that. Rav v'Rabbi Chanina Amre but Megillas Tanis. So now the Gemara is telling us that again. So what do you think the Gemara is going to be doing here? It's not the Gemara being schizophrenic. Okay, the Gemara knows what it's doing. The Gemara is telling us that I just gave you a phrase. I gave you a very simple debate. Two guys said that Megillas Tanis was canceled. Two guys said Megillas Tanis was not canceled. Now, what does it mean, the first opinion that says that Megillas Tanis was canceled? So in order for the Gemara, see, if it were a flowchart, right, what would I do? I'd show you Rav and Rabbi Chanina, they say Megillas Tanis canceled. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi, not canceled. Now, if I wanted to go back to it, I don't have to go back and say, now, in this column, we're going to do this. And in this column, we're going to explain this. But I don't have, in the Gemara, I don't have that luxury. Because the Gemara isn't laid out like a flowchart. The Gemara is just laid out as prose. So, what you have instead of giving you the flowchart, this is Rav and, Rav Chanina. And this is it. Instead of doing that, it just repeats the exact expression that I gave you before. So now it says, I'm going back to this first opinion. How do I know that? Because it's the exact same thing. And so when you have a repeat like that, and this is why you really have to have your toes to the ground, and your eyes to the page, because you have to be able to identify when the Gemara is repeating something like this, that the Gemara isn't saying, I just forgot what I just said. The Gemara is saying, I know exactly what I just said, but you need to know where I'm going with the next piece. And in order for you to know where I'm going with the next piece, I'm drawing back what I just mentioned a moment ago. So therefore, in reading the words Rav Rabbi Chanina Amre Butla Megillas Tanis, then you have to remember, I just saw that, and therefore whatever is going to be following is going to be an explanation of that. Okay? And actually, what comes next is something which we learned at the very beginning. At the very beginning, this is the phrase which we remember, if you remember it. Hachi ka'amar. Hachi ka'amar means this is what it means to say. You remember this, guys? Bizman sheyeh shalom yiula sasona l'simcha ein shalom tzom. That was one of the early phrases we had in this Gemara. When there is peace, the days are joyous. And when there is peace, the days are joyous. And when there is not peace, then they are fasts. And what's this? What's the point? The ones who said that it's Megillas that Megillas Tanis was canceled. Says you have to look at what's going on. It's not just a blanket statement. Oh no, it's canceled. It really depends. It depends on what's going on. That will determine the situation. And the same ruling that applied to Megillas Tanis, he's saying, applies to the fast days. Okay, and remember, it's the exact same phrase. But the only difference is that when we saw it earlier, we were talking about the fast days. And now they're telling us the same phrase referring to the Megillas Tanis. Okay, and that's actually the next four words, sorry. V'hanach nami kihani. Hanach nami kihane, and you know that that's a break because guess what it's about to do? It's going to repeat the line about Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amrei lo batla Megillas Tanis. Okay, so we have to understand, v'hanach nami kihane, that this, it means that this is like this. What is this is like this? The rule of Megillas Tanis is the same rule for the fast days. That's what v'hanach nami kihane. That these rules is just like this one. Let's just finish the thought just to see how they describe the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Amrei lo batla Megillas Tanis. Okay? So why did they say that Megillas Tanis was not canceled? What's the difference between Megillas Tanis and the fast days or whatever? So he says here, Hane, remember we had the word Hane just one line up. Hane who Ditalinu Rachmana Bibinyan Beis Hamikdash Aval Hanach Kedekaime Kaime. Now, you wouldn't know this, but the word masiv is introduces a question. So now the question is, what does this mean? What does this mean? So he says, take a look at Rashi. Okay, we haven't really looked at Rashi, but let's take a look at Rashi. If you look at Rashi, Rashi is about two-thirds of the way down on Rashi. It's in the left side, left column. Detalinu bibinyan. Okay, are you familiar with the words binyan beis hamikdash? Talinu means it's dependent on, it hangs on the building of the beis hamikdash. Let's see what he says. I'm just going to read it because we're basically out of time. Detalinu bibinyan. De al yedei achurban hukbu'u litzom. That the fast days, because of the destruction of the beis hamikdash, they became fast days. The al yedei habinyan, and when the beis hamikdash is built, hukbu liyom tov, they will be established as yontivs. Kisha nibaneh bayis sheni, right? And when the second beis hamikdash was built, shekisha nibaneh bayis sheni. When the second beis hamikdash was built, sholchu bnei agola, the people who were living in the diaspora, they sent a message saying, ha'avke, should I mourn bechodesh ha'chamishi? Should I cry in the fifth month? Just like I've been doing for the last many years since the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So the response that they got from the prophet of the time, Zechariah, is, you guys have been fasting, but now that the Beis Hamikdash has been rebuilt, you don't have to fast anymore. So in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, should they have to fast for the four fast days? The answer is no. These days became days of Simcha. And so similarly, saying for Megillas Tanis, it depends on what's going on. So the idea is that the rule of the fast days, it seems, may have been established or learned from the rule of Megillas Tanis, that it depends on what's going on. Okay, and that's the opinion of the second group. It says lo butla. Lo butla means that it's not that it's, we don't throw it in the trash. We don't say it's gone. We say that it's a contingency plan, depending on what's going on in the community, would determine whether these days are celebrated or these days are days of fasting. And the Gemara here goes into the question of Hanukkah and asks the question: if butla megillas tanis, how come we observe Hanukkah? And the answer the Gemara is going to give is that Hanukkah is different than all the other days of joy because of one thing that happened to Hanukkah that the other days of joy didn't get, except for Purim. Purim is actually biblical, so it's a little different. Okay, and what's the difference between Hanukkah and the other days of joy that were just marked on a calendar?
Miracle.
Not the miracle.
There's a physical victory.
No, that we, what do we have as a result of? We have a mitzvah, a rabbinic mitzvah, yes, but all the other holidays didn't have their rabbinic mitzvah. So Hanukkah became in a category of itself. So, and that's why elsewhere in the Gemara, when it talks about Megillas Tanis being canceled, it says Megillas Tanis was canceled except for Hanukkah and Purim. Those are the only exceptions. And the same ruling applies to Purim. Why would Purim not be canceled? Because Purim also has mitzvahs. Okay, so anyway, Yasher Koach to everybody. This is a base. Most of the things which we did were more agadah-like narrative conversations instead of deep halacha. But I hope that you got a feel and a flavor of how to break down a Gemara through finding the little code words and code letters, and hopefully when you tackle a Gemara again, it should be something which is a little less daunting. Yisro koach.